now your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart.
Uh-oh. Seem to have lost the audio there. We're off to a great start in 2022. Not quite sure. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome to the show.
And take two.
Yeah, I don't know if this Stream Deck is all it's cracked up to be. Operating off of a new system here tonight, so if there's some technical difficulties, you'll understand why. But we're here. We made it. We are at the beginning of the 2022 season. We're still in preseason. We haven't drafted, but we are post-summit. How are you guys doing?
Man. Are we recording?
Yeah. We definitely are.
This is live, David. This is live.
Doing great.
There's no going back.
We're in preseason form. You know, the real game doesn't start yet.
Look, Joey and I should have Joey on here to explain. We spent about 2 hours trying to set up this Stream Deck, and it's already off to a rough start. So he'll love this intro. I'll tell you that.
It kind of sounded like you pulled the plug there.
I know. But I don't really know what that was.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Excited to be back. Excited to be talking football and gearing up for another season. What is this? Is this?
Year 10. Yeah, it's got to be year 10.
We're on our eighth rule book, I think. Eighth edition of the rule book.
Okay.
Is that how we're measuring it?
Yeah, that's how we're measuring.
Well, okay. We like to change rules every year, so.
All pretty much, right? I mean, that lines up pretty accurately. I know
our
rules
the first year were completely different than this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, are we talking about the punter year or the non-punter year? I can never keep that straight.
Speaking of rule changes, I will say this about our good friend Bryce. When everyone thought he was Preston, he was much more calm and mellow. But now that cat's out of the bag, like he's letting it fly.
Which is funny because I feel like he's become more like Preston and the Preston I know anyway. So he could have been like this the whole time and no one would have ever known that any different. That's great. No, I'm glad he's coming down. I think we're going to have everyone in person except potentially me if I'm, if I'm catching my two newborns as they are delivered.
I would say though, as long as she's not like delivering that hour, you're probably going to be there, right?
Let me say this. I will have my phone on me and I will be drafting from the OR or ER, wherever I'm going to be at, the delivery room, whatever.
Yes.
I'm going to ask them what their Wi-Fi password is in the middle of it. That might be a bad look, but.
Yeah, you're like, look, I got something really important happening right now. And
I may ask ROB what she thinks about someone like Joe Burrow, when to take him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, according to Sleeper, that's the second pick.
I know. That's been rough to do mock drafts on because I manually pick until it's my pick because I'm like that's not happening.
Yeah, they're very QB heavy on the mock draft.
I mean, I don't know where they're getting their ADP from. That's the real thing. Their ADP has Joe Burrow at 10.5, which that's got to be super flex or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it has me. I did it like four times and it had Mixon falling to me every time at six. And I'm like, man, I hope that happens.
I don't think he gets past David. Let's put it that way.
No.
Unless David trades back. We'll see. Many things could happen between now and 2 weeks from now. But why don't we do this? Since this is since we're talking about players and ADP, why don't we start off the season and let's see how this goes here with the drop. Why don't we start off a little trivia?
And now it's time for Trivia with Stuart.
With a little twist. It's not going to be Stuart. It's going to be old Commissioner Jonathan driving this. And I just wanted to refresh our memory on some of these guys that are either kept or going to be probably taken in the first couple rounds. And so I just wanted to go through a couple of positions and kind of highlight some things and maybe see if you guys can answer these questions, whether it's in order or get the right guys. Honor system here. I'm not next to you guys, so I'm assuming you guys are just going off of memory.
I haven't looked at any stats in a really long time. So
okay. Well, I mean, this is based, just so you know, I'm looking at 2021 total points scored stats. So not points per game.
Is this through the end of the playoffs or through the NFL season?
It would be the entire NFL regular season.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're talking about fantasy points, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So can you name, let's start with an easy one. Can you name the number one overall quarterback from last year?
Josh Allen.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
I was waiting for Stuart.
Yeah, there's no – we're not keeping score here. I just want to hear –
I didn't know. I was going to guess Mahomes or Herbert.
Okay, so let's go ahead and name – so you just named two other guys that were kept. They are – neither one of them are number two. There is someone that is not kept that is out there to be drafted who is number two overall at QB.
Really?
I would guess Kyler, but he was hurt. So it's not him.
It's not Kyler because
he got hurt. He was up there.
I need to try and let me pull up who was kept really quick. That'll help me.
I'll tell you the quarterbacks that were kept: Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. Those are the quarterbacks that were kept. So just so you know, Rodgers, and we will go past him, Rodgers finished number six. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, it shows 7. He might have tied with somebody.
Was it Tom Brady?
That's what I was going to guess.
It is Tom Brady.
Yes.
Brady finished. So just for context, according to our scoring and sleeper, Josh Allen scored 495 total points on the season. MVP year, league winner. I mean, he carried Lewis to the championship. Tom Brady, 494 points. He finished 1 point behind.
Oh my gosh.
Josh Allen with 81 rushing yards, where Josh Allen had 763 rushing yards.
What did he have, like 45 passing touchdowns or something?
He had 43 passing touchdowns. And Josh Allen had 36 passing touchdowns. So it is, I mean, 7 touchdowns is a significant difference, but he also almost threw 1,000 more yards than him.
Well, yeah. Brady's touchdowns, is that the most?
Brady.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. But that's taking us into the next best unkept quarterback. Thank you, Stuart. This is Trivia with Stuart.
Great.
The next best unkept quarterback had 41 passing touchdowns on the season behind Brady's 43. And he finished at quarterback 5.
In total fantasy points?
Correct.
He had 41 passing touchdowns?
Yep.
Gosh.
It's really interesting to think back on the season. Once you hear these names, it makes sense because obviously these guys.
Is it Dak? Well. It's Dak, isn't it? No.
Matthew Stafford,
who laid a couple of turds for me at the end of the season. So it's easy to remember, he let me down. But the first half of the year, he was on fire.
Yeah.
Dak had to be up there, though, I would think.
Dak Prescott finished behind Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Dak finished with a total of 404 fantasy points. He scored 37 passing touchdowns for 4,400 yards passing. So he did well. Yeah. But Stafford was there was only two quarterbacks that threw for 5,000 yards, and it was Brady and Herbert. Brady threw for 43 touchdowns. Herbert threw for 38 touchdowns. Stafford was just underneath Herbert in yards with 4,886, but he threw for 41 touchdowns. So interesting to look at. And then right behind Stafford is another unkept quarterback. Between Stafford and Rodgers is the number two overall pick, according to Sleeper, Joe Burrow.
Hmm.
So Burrow only had 34 passing touchdowns, but they must have all come. If you look at his season,
they all came in week 16.
So he didn't play week 18, so he only played 16 games. So that's the other thing I'm not looking at here is total games played. But obviously, if they were near the top, they played almost all the games.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Kyler and I think.
Right. On a points per game basis, Kyler was number one quarterback through halfway through the season, but he got hurt and therefore. Okay, let's move on to running backs. I think this one's a fun one. This one, again, is pretty easy. The number
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That is correct. He outscored the second overall running back by nearly 100 points on the season. Who would be? By the way.
Hold on. Are we jumping to running backs? Because I have a quarterback trivia.
Let's put a pin in that. Let's go back to the quarterbacks. What do you got?
Okay. Name the quarterback in the past 4 years who has passed for at least 4,000 yards in each season while completing at least 66% passing of 66% passing completion percentage. There is one quarterback who has done that in the past 4 years. 4,000 yards.
I think I know who it is because I think I heard somebody talking about it the other day on the radio.
So has to be someone that's been in the league at least 4 years. So that takes Kyler out of the equation.
It's not Justin Fields.
never mind. Fields. I'll let you try and guess first, Jonathan, and then I'll go with who I think it is.
Okay. I'm going to take the easy answer, which I think is also wrong. No. Never mind. Okay, this is not my answer, but I was originally going to go with Aaron Rodgers. It is not Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes?
Nope.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins?
Nope.
Oh, I thought that was it. Someone was talking about Kirk Cut.
I just feel like 4,000 yards is a lot of yards. let's go.
This is a really hard question.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. They can't have been injured either and missed significant time. So it takes someone like Russell Wilson out of the equation. Let's see. 4,400 yards and 66%.
4,000 yards.
Okay, 4,000 yards.
Yeah, not 44.
In the last four seasons.
Mm-hmm. Let me know if you want some more hints here.
Brady?
It's not. I don't think it's Brady. I don't think he threw for 4,000 with the Patriots.
So the passing percentage is what gets some of these quarterbacks that have done it. 4,000 yards has happened a lot amongst the top quarterbacks. It's the passing percentage combined with it.
Hmm. Oh.
That's the
I know. I know who it is. I know who it is. Let me ask you this to help confirm without answering. Did this guy change teams this year?
No.
Dang it. I was gonna guess Matt Ryan.
Oh, Matt Ryan.
That's a really good guess.
Yeah, I thought I had it.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
Is it really Derek Carr?
What a guess, Stuart. Good job.
Now list off the touchdowns he's thrown in the those years.
Yeah. Not many.
I think he's broken. Yeah, I think he's broken 30 one time.
Yep.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
That's why. Otherwise, he'd be a top 10 guy every year.
That's right.
That's crazy.
He hasn't missed a game. That's part of it too.
And he hasn't had like elite receivers, really. Yep. So with Davante Adams going there, it should be interesting.
Derek Carr, first round pick.
Yep. Let's move him up the ranks.
Okay.
Come on up.
So we established Jonathan Taylor, 426 points, total fantasy points on the year. Who is the second overall scoring running back from 2021? I don't know. Again, all this is all total points.
Because Austin Ekeler.
That is correct.
Oh, good guess.
Oh, he's not even my guy.
I know. I would have thought the guy who kept him.
I wouldn't have guessed him, actually.
So he scored 97 less points than Jonathan Taylor. Which, for context, the next guy on this list only scored 20 points less than Ekeler. And then the guy behind him scored 23
Stewart probably considers Ekeler his second best running back, and he was second best overall last year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, third on this list is another guy that was kept. So we have to get down to running back number four from last season until we get to someone who was not kept. But the third overall running back was also kept, scoring a 309. This guy, I'll give you a hint. This guy was underwhelming when it comes to performance, but just had a lockdown on the position on his team.
Dalvin Cook.
See, I was going to say Joe Mixon, but Joe, you said he was
in the Mixon
that he was kept.
What did you say, David?
Joe Mixon's fourth.
Correct. Bonus points for you for getting ahead. He's the first non-keeper running back that's available based off of last year's scoring.
Joe Mixon, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He's the first one he's the first one that's available.
I don't know. Is it Najee Harris?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Najee Harris, who had 307 carries for 1,200 yards.
That's crazy.
So
how many catches did he have?
So he had 74 catches.
Wow.
On 94 targets. So Austin Ekeler had 70 catches on 94 targets. But Ekeler had 200 more receiving yards than Harris on four less catches. That's why he was so he had so much volume and did almost nothing with it because the Steelers offense was just so stagnant.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara was, I think his 2018 through 2020 was averaging about 80 catches a year.
81,
80. So for Najee to do 74 with that many carries is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So a lot of usage, and he only had 10 total touchdowns rushing combined with receiving.
Wow. And still the third most points.
While Ekeler had 20 touchdowns. So there's quite a gap there. Even though it's only really what it is just the amount of touches he got. And the yard, I'll say his rushing yards was higher than Eckler's, but the steadiness of Harris versus the boom games from Ekeler, like they're completely opposite when it comes to that. So we got Mixon at four. We got another running back at five who should be going in the first round, but his name's been tossed around in the chat a bit by some of the guys that have been active.
Connor?
That is correct. James Conner, number five.
Wow.
He had 15 rushing touchdowns.
All touchdowns.
Yeah. And he had three receiving touchdowns, giving him a total of 18. So that's like, again, the boom bust from someone like that compared to Najee, who had 10. It's quite astonishing. This next guy is the one that surprises me. The one after Conner, he was also available, and I don't know where he'll go. I don't think he'll make it past 12 because of the guy who drafts at 12.
Fournette.
I know that was kind of a misleading statement. I know.
Or Daryl Patterson. I'm just kidding.
I have to give you that.
I knew that wouldn't.
I know. This guy had 258 total fantasy points on 237 carries for 1,002 yards. 10 total.
It's got to be
10 rushing touchdowns.
If he's not taking the LSU player, he's taking the Cowboys player.
It's Zeke.
That is correct. And the 1,000 yards was the giveaway because that was the stupidest thing that they wanted to make sure they had a 1,000-yard rusher. Zeke. So Zeke finished at 6.
Do y'all know how many 1,000-yard rushers there were last year?
Well, I'm looking at it.
Just guess a number, Stuart.
5.
It is too low. You too low.
We too low.
We too low.
It's got to be less than 10.
We too low.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah, I know.
Add two. 7.
Yeah. 7.
Yeah. So that's funny you say that because let's just give you some amazing. So this is just a fun fact about a guy who didn't finish the season, only played in 8 games, and still finished .13 overall in running back
school. Well, I know who that is.
You guys should both know. I think you both know who it is. This is just total points for, because if you go by points per game, he was the number one running back, and it wasn't close.
Yeah.
And that would be Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That is correct. Is that not amazing? The guy finished 13 and didn't play the back half of the season.
Well, he didn't even get passed up by Jonathan Taylor for like at least 3 or 4 games.
Right.
Because he was so far ahead.
So Derrick Henry scored 229 total points on 8 games. And then you've got a guy like Dalvin Cook who missed 1, 2, 3, 4 games. And he finished behind Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
By 3 points. That's insane. With 30 more carries. So that's the thing. He had 30 more carries than Derrick Henry and scored 3 less points than him. Wow. Crazy. So then you got some other guys that are on the that are available. You got Leonard Fournette, Antonio Gibson, Damian Harris, and Cordarrelle Patterson that round out the top 12 running backs. And where they're going, and situations have changed, but where they're going in the draft is all over the place. So there is quite a drop off at running back after those first couple.
Yeah. Do y'all know the running back with the highest average yards per carry with at least 100 carries?
Just last year or just
in just last year?
Okay.
So to give you an idea, well, go ahead. I'll tell you the number.
Can I ask you, is this guy a keeper?
No, he was not a keeper.
Really? I was going to get Gervonta.
Highest yards per carry with at least 100 carries.
Yep.
Tony Pollard? I'm digging deep on that one. Yeah, that's way too deep. You wouldn't look that deep.
Is it Fournette?
Tony Pollard was at 5.5. That's a really good number.
Yep. I knew his was really good, but
that's the same number that Jonathan Taylor was at, 5.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that's not the answer to your question?
Leonard Fournette was at 4.5.
Okay. Not him.
Which, for reference to going back to the previous conversation, Derrick Henry was at 4.3.
Interesting.
Over 6 yards a carry.
Over six?
Yep.
Would that be Aaron Jones?
No, Aaron Jones was at 4.7.
DeAndre Swift?
I'm just DeAndre going. Swift at 4.1.
Golly, I don't know. This isn't.
I don't know either. Melvin Gordon.
He plays in the NFC.
No, this wasn't a guy I owned, is it?
That you what?
That I owned this past year?
I don't think so.
Okay, then never mind. I was going to say it's not Elijah Mitchell. He plays in the NFC.
Elijah Mitchell was at 4.7. Nick Chubb, by the way, was at 5.5 as well. He was up there. He came on really strong towards the end of the year.
Was he on a playoff team?
I don't think they were playoffs. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
No, they weren't.
I don't know, man.
There's someone yelling, I bet, the correct answer right now.
Someone that owned him last year is just...
He stumped me.
Slapping the dashboard. It's not Dalvin Cook, is it?
No, it's not Dalvin Cook. He was at 4.7.
I don't know, man. This is a...
All right, we'll come back to it.
What a cliffhanger.
All Damien, right. Damien Harris.
There's no way that guy.
No.
That guy was not efficient.
Damien Harris was 4.6.
Okay, not bad. Not bad.
To give you an idea, Lamar Jackson was at 5.8. Jalen Hurts was at 5.6. He was ahead of these guys.
In the NFC?
Wait, and it's a running back?
It's a running back. He was a first-round pick.
From what? What? Oh, Christian McCaffrey. No, he wasn't a pick, though. He was a keeper.
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon was at 4.1.
What are you doing here?
It's a first round pick, guys. How many first round running backs are there?
First round in our league or first round in like ADP?
No, in the NFL draft, he was a first round pick.
Oh.
All right.
J.K. Dobbins.
Wow. Sorry, Joey.
Oh, man.
Way too soon.
Goodness.
In the NFL, he was a first-round pick?
Yes.
Last year?
That's so funny how your mind goes blank on this stuff.
I know.
He's been in the league for, let's see, a couple years. Oh, that's not right.
Uh-oh. Is this bad information that we're getting?
He was drafted in 2018.
It's not Saquon Barkley.
Seventh
overall?
27th.
Oh, 27th.
All right, we'll be here all night. The correct answer was Rashad Penny.
Oh, really?
6.3 yards per carry.
Oh my gosh, we never would have guessed that, dude.
Yeah, he's available.
Not even his real name. We know what his real name is.
Oh man,
I don't.
Hey, that was a hard one. I wouldn't have got that either.
Yeah, no,
Thanks a lot.
All right, moving on to receivers, and then we'll wrap up trivia here. So, number one receiver. This is a no brainer for folks here.
Koopas Troopas.
404 total fantasy points with the monster historical year. Almost hit 2,000 receiving yards. 145 catches on 191 targets. Unbelievable.
Yes, yes sir.
So he is due for an injury this year. and the the next receiver who... I heard this on another podcast. If it had been pretty much any other year besides like Randy Moss's historic year or Cooper Kupp's historic year, this guy would have been the number one overall wide receiver, and he is available in the draft.
What?
He would have been.
Really? This is Jefferson.
It's not.
Wow.
It is not.
How this guy's available in the draft is beyond me.
I know. I would have definitely kept him.
Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, I thought that was right.
Okay, let me give you some stats because this will tell you some things. He only had 77 catches.
Debo Samuel.
Oh, yeah. And he had 77 rushing attempts.
59 rushing attempts for 365 yards rushing, 8 rushing touchdowns. He had more rushing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns at 6. But he had 1,400 receiving yards, so he had big games receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have kept him, Stuart. That was a big mistake.
I know.
Moving on.
You would have kept him over who?
Oh, Austin Eckler.
Oh. Sure you would have. My whole team was like all-stars, and I lost. So you're welcome.
Floor is yours, Stuart. I was waiting for this.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
It was one of the worst moments of my life. I watched my team crumble and lose. I paid so much to build this team to go out in flames. It was so sad.
There it is. Your team's burning in the background.
Yeah. But that just means I'm going to be on fire next year.
Oh, yeah. Know. Let's hear it from the crowd. Yeah, no one really is supporting you in that. Okay, the number three receiver was a keeper. He was a big... Big touchdown guy.
Oh, no.
Well, he was the year before. This year, he kind of fell off a little bit. Still, that is correct. Davante Adams, 123 receptions for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns. Number four.
How many touchdowns did he have last year?
If you go back to 2020, I believe he had. Show me just the history. I hate when this does this on the computer. I thought he had in the ballpark of 18 or 19 touchdowns. Yep, 18. 18 touchdowns on 1,300 yards in this last, that was in 2020. 2021, he had 1,500 yards, but he shaved off 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he actually scored
less. But still points. The third
overall. So we'll see. Going back to that Derek Carr nugget, we'll see if Davante Adams can keep that pace up with another Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, pretty much Aaron Rodgers. You've got number four, who is the number four overall receiver, who started out. Let's see. I don't want to say slow.
Jefferson.
No, he didn't start out slow. I'm missing.
He was pretty consistent, I feel like.
No. And it's not, it is definitely not Jefferson. However, this would be the guy that's probably the number one overall pick.
Chase.
Oh, Ja'Marr Chase.
1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns on 81 catches. So just shy, just about 100 yards shy of Davante Adams on 40 less catches.
Wow.
Big plays. The next one, you can finally say it, and they actually were tied, but for whatever reason, they have Chase listed above them. Probably alphabetical order. Justin Jefferson. So he had 1,600 yards and 10 receiving touchdowns with 108 catches. So different way to get there, but both scored 301 points. And then this last guy is that we'll cover here is also available, and I'll be interested to see where he ends up going in the draft. I don't think David will take him.
Yeah, I know.
Waiting on Stuart to get it.
You don't think David will take him? Is that a clue?
That's a big clue.
I really want to take him.
I think he might have a big year, but it would not behoove David's current situation unless
he had 15 touchdowns in 2020. He had 9 touchdowns last year.
That is correct.
Did he switch teams this year?
Yes.
Yes, Tyreek.
That's right.
The
cheetah. He is available. So we've got 1, 2, 3 of the top six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Half of the top six receivers from last year are probably going to go in the first round. I don't see them getting out of the first round this year.
Yeah.
But that just shows you how running back is still king. Everyone values that the most. And we'll see what happens. I think Joey made the joke or the comment, I think, in the chat about how the the mock draft is so unrealistic because you know, all these quarterbacks keep going early. And I said, have you drafted in our league yet? Because you never know when a quarterback's going to go.
That is true.
Just when you think that someone's got a marquee quarterback, that doesn't mean Kyler's right. Safe.
Yeah,
Lewis has Josh Allen, but he might pick a first round quarterback off the board.
If Kyler's still sitting there, why not go get him?
Last year, I thought was the best year as far as quarterback selection and when they actually got picked. Part of it is because all the dads have the quarterbacks.
This is true. They know not to. They don't have to.
The quarterback, and they've got him. So I don't know. I could see it only being a 1 or 2 this year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I do think. I think sleeper, the transition to sleeper has really helped even out those draft day disparities of like, whoa, why are you picking this guy? Because it's all consolidated in the same place. You can all see it, and it's a lot easier to kind of see the scoring and everything.
I will tell you this. If Kyler is available at 6, I will probably not be taking him.
Really?
No.
Fool
me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, not going to be fooled again.
I would have not guessed that. I would have guessed that if he was there, I mean, obviously it depends who else is there. If somehow Ja'Marr Chase was there, I would take him.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, you just named those top 3 receivers, right? From at least 3 of the top 6 from last year. How late does the last one of them last in this draft?
So I think Tyreek goes the longest. And I think he could potentially make it to pick 9, but not much past that one.
Mm.
Pick 9.
I wonder who picks 9.
I wonder who that is. Now we'll see. I've had mocks, even where I was trying to guess what the manager would actually do. I've seen Tyreek slip to me. I've seen Tyreek slip past me, just trying different things out. But he doesn't ever get out of the first round. I think Chase is the smash number one. And yeah. I think Debo actually had before I can say this now because it doesn't matter. I thought Bryce was gonna pick Debo at 4 if he got past you.
Yeah.
But then he traded back, and now I'm thinking, wait, does Ryan go quarterback early and let maybe either, you know, you're looking at Swift, Debo, and Hill, one of those guys slipping if Ryan does something a little unexpected.
Yeah, I would guess 8 if I'm to answer my question, but we'll see.
So you think Joey would take him? Because that's Joey's pick.
Sorry, I'm looking at this wrong.
So Joey has Daniel's pick in the first round. And so Joey has T. Higgins and no running backs. He has Higgins and Herbert.
Okay, yeah. I would say 8 then. So you 9. 9.
Yeah. See, that's why I said that. It's just the way it falls. It's not because people are not valuing him. I think people are gonna try and grab other positions, meaning mainly running back when they're there. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, that was fun. It's fun. I do want to, now that we're getting into the meat of the podcast here, I want to remind everyone of the draft weekend and what was discussed, what is set. Just a reminder on what to bring with you. So on Friday, September 2nd, I believe at Merrick, we'll be drafting. Right now it says 6:30 p.m. It may get pushed back to 7. I don't know. It depends what everyone wants to do. I think we'll all be in person with me being the only pending one, so we can kind of move that time around as needed. Right now, it's currently, if you're looking at Sleeper, it shows that the draft is set for Friday, September 2nd, 6:30 p.m. And we agreed at Merrick, but we can always move that. Doesn't matter.
And are we paying off water bets at that time since we'll all be there?
So that's a great question. So there's a couple things. I think there's an opportunity to pay off water bets on Saturday if people want to hang out. Or if we can't seem to get everyone together again, which is understandable, we can pay off water bets before, during, or after the draft. Just depends on who owes what. I mean, Stewart might need to start now. He owes like 3 years worth of Stewart and Jackson, I feel like.
I know that I get to throw a lot of water on people too, though. So
probably on yourself too.
Yeah. There's that one weird one.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it'd be better to try and work it in on Friday when we know everyone will be there? Or do we have a good idea that a lot of guys will be able to join on Saturday?
I think if we could get maybe a commitment for Saturday would probably be a more fun time and place to do it. Though it was one of my favorite memories of all time is I forgot who it was. I know David did it, but I think Lewis or someone got hit like 12 by everybody. I think that he got soaked by everybody in Merrick's parking lot. And I was like, man, this is good stuff.
It was him or my dad.
Listen, the part of the water bets is shame, right? And there's nothing more shameful than doing it in the Merrick parking lot.
Yes.
Hey, I'm down. I'm always down to do water bet payoffs. So
yeah, we should do it Friday night at the draft.
So whose responsibility is that now?
That would be me.
And your title is what? I think I found it.
Assistant to
and
the.
And that's when you have an assistant regional manager.
Yes, it is. Assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing.
No, it's not. It's lower. So
it's close.
Yeah, assistant regional manager.
Assistant to.
Assistant commissioner.
Assistant to the commissioner. It's lower.
I sent out the water bet log, I think, with my last email to everybody.
Yes. And then you sent it to me and said, you're keeping track of this now.
Yeah. It's brutal to do that.
When you start getting in those complicated, you gotta like, yeah, the points per game, minimum 10 games.
Yeah.
Season long bets. I feel like the weekly ones are easier to like check off the list, but the ones you forget are like these season long ones that.
Yeah. And then you're like, what constitutes the season?
Yeah, that was a whole debate. So going forward, and
you better clarify.
You have to clarify. Do you mean the regular season for fantasy? Do you mean the regular season for NFL, which would be the total points scored, or just like on a points per game basis? So just be very clear. The more details, the better.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then don't forget that it's a $50 buy-in. I do accept cash, and I prefer Venmo, so I don't have to carry a bunch of cash on me. But if you bring cash, that's fine. And then once I get all the payments, I will pay out for last year. So we will redistribute that money very quickly. And starting with senior who gets the $300 payout, and all the way down to the $10 payout.
Here's an interesting question, and I know we're not changing this. I just am curious. If it was a $500 buy-in instead of a $50 buy-in, do you think that people like it would change the league?
Yeah, we'd have half the people leave.
No. Let's say everyone's all in, right?
Yeah.
I'm going with that scenario, but like,
Do you understand the letter of the law? There'd probably be legal ramifications. There would be there would be people calling up lawyers saying, no, that is not what that rule means. It would be very intense.
That would be really fun.
Fun is one word. Stressful is another. Yeah. Holding on to that much cash is always fun.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I wasn't really suggesting it. I just wondered how different the league would be.
Here you go, Jonathan. Here's $6,000 in cash. Hold on to that.
Yeah.
Gosh, man. I would take it more seriously. I'll tell you that.
I can't wait for the IRS to come knocking on my door and say, why did you get $6,000 in cash?
Yeah, and then flee the country.
and then immediately disperse it. Are you laundering money? What's happening?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. So looking forward to the weekend. I may or may not be there. If I'm not there, it's because I'm expecting my two little ones, but hopefully I can make it work. I really appreciate everyone trying to make it work in San Antonio, Bryce, Daniel, Joey, everyone who travels from out of town. So thank y'all for making it work.
Yeah.
Sure. I think one other thing. So I know Senior volunteered his house for that Saturday. Once we kind of iron out the details, if we want to do like that afternoon, we'll let him know, get a head count, whatever, and we can have food and all that. If not, or if guys want to get together and golf that morning and then do that, there's options. So, Ryan, Mike, if y'all want to run with some of that planning, feel free. Again, I probably won't be attending most of that. So, don't let it stop the rest of you guys from getting together, having fun. Cool. Anything else on the draft weekend?
No, excited. Looking forward to it.
We bring cash to the prior to the draft. Is that what you said?
Yes. Please bring it the night of the draft, or you can send it ahead of time. Just if you send it ahead of time to me or Katie or whatever, we'll get that figured out. But just put a note in there that's the buy-in if you're doing Venmo, so that we can track that.
Got it.
Cool. All right. Keepers. I do want to I know we announced the keepers at the summit. Just real briefly, we don't need to go into great detail, but I kind of want to get y'all's take on who do we feel, if you guys want to pull up Sleeper or whatever, who do you guys feel has the best keepers overall? Maybe you want to highlight who do you think has kind of the lowest floor, could be the biggest letdown. You just project this season having a bad year and not living up to the hype. And then who do you think is kind of the biggest wild card that can be a league winner or saddle that team for the whole season as the dud? You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Go, Stuart.
I'm looking at the keeper list, and Bryce with Christian McCaffrey and Saquon, you've got to think that that's the best set of keepers, arguably the best set of keepers, except for what we know about both of those guys, right, from the last few seasons. And so then you look at Daniel with Henry and Kamara, and you're like, those two, in my opinion, are the ones that stand out probably the most. Of just both of them seem like really solid keepers. I would say, just based on injury, I would probably say Daniel is sitting the best out of all of these. But
you could argue all four of those guys have major injury question marks.
Yeah, no, you're right. So
it's kind of a funny thing that you brought those two out, because those are the two I kind of thought as well, that should they hit their, even if it's kind of more their average or just above it, I mean, those are home runs at that position. And then of course, if they hit their ceilings, it's like, those are guys, I mean, all they have to do is fill out the rest of their roster with kind of average guys. And those guys, Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey, can separate themselves very quickly.
Yeah. But
they're also a foot or a hip away
right.
from the past 2 years from missing significant time. And so it's, I feel like they're the biggest wild card guy. Like that's how I'd classify them, where they have the highest upside and also a realistic opportunity for injury to impact their season, which is scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
I really like your keeper, Stewart. Cooper Kupp and Austin Eckler. I mean,
I'd classify them as the safest. Like yeah. that, to me, they're like, they, again, all these guys have a chance for a catastrophic injury, but assuming that they hold serve from last year or just come back to the mean a little bit, I mean, Kupp and Eckler are guaranteed work. They're on great offenses. They're the go-to guys. They finished number one and number two, respectively, at their positions. I mean, they're as safe as it gets. I don't think Kupp goes for 2,000 yards again almost on the season. Oh, in fact, I think that's his biggest regression. I think his touchdowns can stay up, but I think his yards come down. With Allen Robinson showing up there, I think you got another legit weapon. And then, you know, you've heard rumblings about Eckler getting less touches because he was used so much last year. But, I mean, they're slam dunk smash starts every week. There's no question about them.
Yeah.
My dad probably, and it's maybe not a fair comparison because he has a quarterback, but he has the 80-point stack potential. Yep.
That's very true.
Kelsey and Mahomes, as Stewart might remember.
Do you think Kelsey has another year in him of dominance? Do you think he'll?
I mean, judging by the playoffs, I haven't seen any reason to think he doesn't.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, he's an exception to the rule on a lot of this stuff. He's just that good. And then you throw in the fact that Tyreek's gone. I mean, who else is he throwing it to?
No, that's the thing, right? So, like, I think a lot of people are starting to hedge on Kelsey from an athleticism standpoint. But with Tyreek leaving, it's like, okay, even if he does, the volume just increased. Like, it has to. At the very least, he's the only guy that you can rely on in the red zone. Like, I don't know. Kelsey is...
As recently as 6 months ago, he was still smashing. So,
right.
I don't think he's lost a step, is my point. Combined with the fact that he's lost all those targets, if there's any safe picks, it might be Kelsey and Mahomes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about that and the benefit of the stack, but how the stack can hurt you some weeks too, you know, where it's if you're relying so heavily on the Chiefs offense and they just have a bad week, but
pretty bad last year.
I would say, I mean, he's had that stack for a couple of years now, I think, hasn't he?
Hill.
He had the Tyreek stack.
He had Hill. Yeah.
So I was going to ask you this, David, let me start with me. Let me call my own foul. I am worried about AJ Brown being the biggest letdown. He has the most volatility with the team change. He goes to arguably a worse passer than in Jalen Hurts, but it could be one of those things where there's no real significant change, or even he gets featured more because the offense runs through him. So I think he's got some wild card in him, but I also think mostly his floor could drop out from him. I was going to ask, do you feel differently on Waddle and or Javonte given the off seasons that the Dolphins and Broncos have had? Because I think you were looking like, again, a slam dunk going into this year, assuming that Hill would have stayed with the Chiefs and that Melvin Gordon would have moved on. Yeah. And yet those two hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, during the trade deadline, I targeted those guys because I thought going into next year, they had really high ceilings, and then they had about the worst offseason between the two of them you could have. With all that being said,
right.
I'm going to bet on talent. You know, those guys are uber talented. So, yeah, are they risky? For sure. And maybe am I a year early on both of them, and do I have to keep them again next year? Maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think T. Higgins – I mean – A.J. Brown and Jaylen Waddle to me are the two
and maybe even T. Higgins are really the first receivers.
I was going to say Higgins too.
But they all have such big potential.
Yep.
Even Higgins, I would say, in that group. And so, you know, it's at some point, you know, all those guys overtake others. I mean, you can look at, you know, the Falcons. Right. Good example where it was Roddy White, then it was Julio, and then, you know, it turned into Calvin. And, you know, that stuff happens over time.
Right.
So, yes, I wish the offseason would have played out differently. No, I love Waddle. I just – he's by far my favorite player. Him and Tyreek. If anything, I'm hoping – and this is me just maybe wearing – I don't know. What's their team colors?
Teal color glasses.
Hopefully Tyreek opens some of that stuff up for him. Because I think he's just as fast as Tyreek. I think Tyreek's a little faster, but, you know, they're in the same conversation. So that and the offensive coordinator change is hopefully going to lead to a good season. But yeah, it's a risky pick for sure. So it's an upside pick, hopefully.
Then you got guys, you've got keepers kind of in the middle here where I feel like they're safe, but I don't feel great about upside with, this is just my personal opinion, Stephon Diggs and Dalvin Cook. And then you got Davante Adams and Najee Harris. Them, that one in particular.
Yeah.
The upside I feel like is capped based off of the team situation, not the talent of the player necessarily.
So if you're Ryan's got the first and the second and the fourth pick, right?
Yep.
And you just, you know, and I agree with you, I think your opinion that these guys are solid. They're probably not going to be spectacular this year in the sense of top three, top five, maybe top three, most likely not, I would bet against. What do you do with those first two picks? Are you swinging for more of the fences or are you going for more reliable and steady like those guys?
It's a great question. I would like to hear Stuart's thought on that because I have an opinion, but I don't want to – I have an opinion on what I think I would do, but I don't know what Ryan would do.
Yeah, what would you do and what will Ryan do?
For me, because they're reliable, I would get the explosive guys. Mm-hmm. So I would look at it as roster construction and say, okay, give me – if Mixon falls to me, he's a touchdown guy, and give me Debo if he falls to me at four.
Mm-hmm.
If Debo gets taken at three, maybe I'm looking at Kyler or one of these quarterbacks that can just carry you week to week. I don't know, just big touchdown guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you're getting Devontae and Najee solid workload. I don't know. I wouldn't get spread too thin thinking like I have to go running back or I have to go receiver. I look for the upside guys with those two. I don't know.
No, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I think you – but with those two picks that early, I really don't know that – I don't know that you're going to make a mistake unless you draft somebody who tears an ACL and
– Right, right.
You know, the first game of the season or something. I just don't think – I don't think he's in danger of making a mistake with both of those picks, really.
You're 100% right. Barring catastrophic injury, there's nothing that says workload from Mixon, Swift. Again, this is all assuming that Jamar Chase goes first. If something happens where Jamar Chase drops to number two, that is, you draft so quickly. I mean, you're going to come up. You're going to run up there. You're going to say, I take Jamar Chase before Jackson finishes picking whoever he's picking, whether it be Mixon or Swift or whatever. I think you got to go upside there, but I don't know. I don't know what Ryan may have a different strategy. Maybe he goes to a different position and wants positional advantage with quarterback.
Mm.
So I would say, you know, I said you can't really make a mistake. I think if you go quarterback with one of those two guys, see that mistake, but
you are really trying to get Kyler to drop to you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bryce already told me that Kyler's not dropping to me. So,
well, Bryce is out of the first round. So,
oh, yeah. That was before he made that trade.
I'm pretty sure Ryan said that as well after the trade. So,
yeah. You know, I would say just in regards to, and I know that you can't really do this, but I always look at the top 24 keepers, and I'm like, okay, would those guys go if we weren't keeping guys? Would they be the first in the top 24 picks? And there's a few guys on here that obviously I don't, in my opinion, wouldn't be. T. No. Higgins would
Rodgers,
be
Rodgers, Herbert, Higgins, even maybe.
I don't think David Montgomery should be up there.
But that's the nature of like our league of keepers. Oh, it is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that they're keeping the best of who they have. So you're not really getting the top 24. But so just in terms of question marks or biggest bust in the keepers, however you want to call it, I would say T. Higgins from a wide receiver standpoint, and probably David Montgomery from a running. Yep. I don't know that I want anything to do with
David the Bears.
And the Bears offense.
Montgomery was good. It's just he shouldn't be your best running back.
Yeah. Where did he finish? I'm looking that up right now.
So he missed 1, 2, 3, 4 games right in the middle of the season. He still finished at 19 on the season as a running back.
Okay.
I mean, he was good, but he was never win you the week good. If you look at, like, he would stay between 11 or 12 points to 15 or 16 points every week.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, so, I'm going, David Montgomery might have been the most surprising keeper, actually, to me, as I went back and looked at it. He might have been third or fourth on my list of that to choose from. You know,
would you have gone with Pitts?
Pitts or Tyreek?
Yeah, Tyreek makes more sense. I think my dad's finally caught on to the value of a running back, but at this point, he's got the wrong guy to value. So I give him credit for recognizing the value of a running back and how rare they are to get. I just don't think, to y'all's point, Montgomery's that guy.
I mean, I don't even know if he kept the best quarterback on his team.
That's also true. According to the stats, he was.
Joe Burrow.
Oh, Burrow, yeah.
Okay, so do you know where they finished respectively on the season?
Yeah, and that's not fair because Burrow was good at the
beginning. Right. This isn't projecting into next year, right? This is just looking at all of last year. But Burrow had
sixth, I think.
Yeah, Burrow had 422. Rodgers had 421. He finished 1 point behind Burrow. So Burrow did beat him on the year.
Yeah, if you take Burrow's last 8-game split, though.
Yeah, no. He was astronomical. He was probably the best quarterback on the season if you do that.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, but even Kyle Pitts, like, that's a guy who has upside, right?
I think, you know, Pitts would
have Montgomery. What's Montgomery got?
Right. I think Pitts, you could have gone Pitts and Hill, to your point.
Yeah.
But at the very least, I would have kept Pitts. I think Pitts is going to be a guy.
Or Burrow and Hill. I think, you know, if he wanted to go quarterback, keep Burrow and Hill, that just looks better than Rodgers and Montgomery at this point. But who knows? Rodgers surprises you every year. So,
yeah. Maybe. The other thing was losing Davante Adams crushed the Rodgers value. Where at the very least, you're like, okay, at least he's got Adams he could throw to. And now you're like, Alan Lazard, like that's your new go to. It's kind of it's a tough one to sell for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the worst non keeper choice. So, that's reserved for someone else.
Oh. Who's that? I'd like to hear this while we're on the topic of keepers. Who was the best player let go back into the pool?
Our number one pick that we've been saying.
So how would you have done it? Would you have cut Chubb loose or Allen loose?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Chubb is actually a good player, so it's not like he selected someone that was third or fourth.
Right.
That's tough because Josh Allen obviously was number one.
I think I keep Allen.
I would have kept Chase over Chubb.
Yeah. Right. So you would have kept Allen and Chase instead of Allen and Chubb. I think that's the right move too.
Yeah, because I think if not, Josh Allen is probably in consideration for the second pick.
100%. Josh Allen doesn't make it through the first five picks for this year's draft.
Right. So. Whereas Nick Chubb, I think, could maybe get Chubb the could.
Yeah, Chubb could slide. Then,
yeah.
So let's go back really quick to something you said, Jonathan, to mine, right? Because we were talking about Debo probably being in the top three.
Let's go back to Stewart.
Would you really have kept Debo over Eckler?
No, I if you have a guy like Eckler, you have to keep him. It's a positional advantage. I love big explosive receivers like that. So I obviously fall in love with those guys, but I don't think you could not have. You had to keep Kupp because of the historic season, and there's no change going into this year. And then,
I did consider keeping. I was going to keep Eckler regardless. I considered for a brief moment of Debo over Kupp just because I loved the versatility and the way they used him in that offense as running back as well. And you saw that paid dividends
for the Niners.
Patterson as well over Cordell.
I think that's less predictable and less reliable, even though Samuel did it for like half a season. So I'm saying two things at once here, but
yeah.
I think Kupp's value and points come from a more predictable place. And it's easier to say, yes, I can see this repeating where Debo had a lot of big plays and that's what he does. But if he doesn't have, you know, those massive touchdowns, I mean, his actual usage is way less than Kupp.
Yeah.
So it just depends what you believe. And then again, isn't Debo younger? Debo's got to be younger, right? So he's 26. Okay. He's 26. Let's see what Kupp says. I think Kupp's 29. Yeah. So he's 3 years younger, but it's a pretty old 26 when you get used as a running back.
You're right.
What do you believe will happen? Like, who do you think will fall off first? I don't think either one of them will be bad this year. I think they'll both be excellent. So for the short term, it's the right call. I just don't know. I don't think you made the wrong call, in my opinion. I think you're I would have done the same.
How many of your guys get picked in the first round, Stewart?
Debo does for sure. I think obviously Kyler, I think does my team of all star. I love the music. Those would be
Aaron Jones probably will.
Aaron Jones would get picked in the first round. I don't think Aaron Jones makes it to my pick. I think Joey picks him with one of his two picks, if not Stewart.
I don't think Jones makes it past 10 for sure, but yeah.
Oh, he won't.
George Kittle. Where does George Kittle?
I think Kittle slips to the second round.
Yeah.
Because the only thing is if guys with these multiple picks feel like they have a chance to take a positional advantage, but I don't think Joey's going to be taking a tight end that early. Ryan's definitely not taking one. And you've got guys like Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts who are probably getting taken above Kittle.
Yeah.
You might be looking like third round for someone like Kittle. Just depends on, again, some of these guys with multiple picks in the top three rounds might say, Kittle fell to me and I got, I've already got three running backs or three receivers, whatever.
What round is Calvin Ridley going?
Don't give away my favorite player.
Is he still in the league? I didn't know.
He's suspended all year.
Oh, he's suspended for gambling.
Oh.
For it's not even like gambling within a game he was playing. It's gambling on a game he wasn't playing. So bad.
What an idiot.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do want to, I can't end this podcast without making some kind of season-long water bet with you guys. I feel like we need to do a commissioner season-long bet.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
And I would like I would really like if you guys would agree to either one of the following. We can just say, not knowing right now how the draft goes, we can just say, let's see who finishes with the best regular season record. Or we can choose who has the most points for by the end of the regular season, because I think that's when they stop counting it. The end of the fantasy regular season. And then, or we can say who's got the highest scoring keeper. Because I feel really good about Jefferson taking the throne from Cup.
Yeah, y'all can do that one.
Wait, why? I thought you liked Jalen Waddle.
For sure, without Tyreek. I would maybe consider it then.
Okay. Well, what about
regular season record?
Okay, best regular season record. Do we want to all three get on that? So whoever wins, whoever comes out on top gets to water the other two. Now, we need a tiebreaker if there's a tiebreaker. I guess we can just bump to points four. You guys
just follow that? The rule book.
Okay.
Well, I guess it's head-to-head.
Right. Do you want to do head-to-head first and then points four? Well, none of us play each other twice. But what if we all finish with the same record and we split?
Then it would go points four.
Then it would go points four. Yeah. So are we good with that?
Yeah. So Waterbed.
Go ahead. Read it off, Commissioner Assistant to
Commissioner. Yeah, best regular season record. Tie is points four.
No, tie is head to head.
Just dude per rule book.
Yeah, just per rule book. It's head to head, then points four.
Okay.
I like it.
Hey, Jonathan, what are you looking for, you know, with that 17th round pick that's on the block here?
Oh, hey, real quick, I'm glad you brought that up. So I believe that we should be ending the draft in the 16th round. Is that not correct?
It depends on, like, Daniel doesn't have a pick until, like, the what?
Or, right. Basically allowing guys to draft their like filler spots, but I think there should only be 16 official rounds.
Well, I think it becomes 17 when you look at the spots.
17, that's fine. I think in our draft room, it shows.
I can't remember. It always gets weird towards the end.
I know. It looks like it filled it in correctly. So I think we're okay. But at one point it showed like all those picks. So again, like if I trade pick 17, that would be Micah Parsons because he's already drafted in that spot. So I'm guessing that those picks are like technically off the board, right? Like, cause if you look at your own team, it'll show that you have
pick
19. Okay. Just double checking. So no one actually trade those picks. That was the joke. I was like, you can't do it. I did get several inquiries. Most of them were, I'll trade you my 18th pick for your 17th.
Y'all know the latest round pick ever traded?
It was probably you, wasn't it?
10th?
It was me.
Yeah.
What'd you guess? I guess 10.
It was lower than that.
Really?
Yep.
It was just like a throwaway, like, hey, well, this pick.
Oh, lower meaning, gotcha.
Yeah, 12.
Who got your lucky 12th pick? Or did you get the 12th pick? 12th round pick?
I can't remember if I got it or I gave it away. But yeah, it was in there.
I bet you gave it away to somebody.
Plus $6 a fab.
No, yeah. I think I actually got it because they're like, yeah, sure, you can have my 12th.
We didn't talk about the trade between Ryan and Bryce.
Yeah, we touched on it, but not really. I mean, we touched on the fact that Bryce traded out, but Bryce, let's look at the official trade.
Bryce gets the
go on.
with the first pick in the NFL draft. Sorry, go ahead.
He gave the 13th pick up, or he got the 13th pick, gave up the fourth, and then he also got the 309. So what is that? 33? So he got the 13th and 33rd for the fourth.
Okay.
What'd you think of that, Stuart? Daniel had strong thoughts.
I mean, it's I just feel like those early picks. I mean, I guess if there's not a guy you want, but I don't know.
So that's my thing. That's exactly where I was going with this. Does Bryce not value someone like Debo or Swift? Assuming that again, it's okay, whatever order you want, Mixon, Chase, Swift, and Debo. You don't think you'd rather have whoever's in that range, those two guys versus them. I don't know. I think I'd rather have one of those four guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he's getting some decent value, I guess, but you just don't. Who were the four guys? Huh?
Who were the four you said?
Mixon, Chase, Swift, and Debo.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like, if you put it on paper, let's say he drafts, I don't know, you said, let's say the 13th and 30 whatever. I mean, let's look at
some mediocre players.
You're looking at guys like DK Metcalf or I don't know, Antonio Gibson.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the trade for Ryan. You know, he's already got a high pick. He adds another one. I thought, you know, it's the classic 2-for-1, right?
Right.
You always want to end up with the best player, and I thought Ryan did that. So, you know, it's also nice that Ryan still has a slew of picks because I think he still has, let's see, 102, 104, the 202, the 304, the 402, and the 404. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's why I think he can. I mean, going back to the earlier discussion, tying these two together, I think he can take maybe not at the number four pick, but he can take a shot at a positional advantage, being a tight end or quarterback pretty early.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Because he's got the ability to make up a lot of receiver opportunity later in the draft. And I say later, like second and third round.
Didn't Ryan have a ton of early picks last year too?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was the joke that he made about this doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
still gotta win your week.
Yeah. You know?
That's what I love about this game. You can have a great team on. What was your team name, David?
Way
back in the day.
Oh, the greatest show on paper?
Yeah. You can have a great team on paper, but you gotta perform every week. You got to beat.
I like that team name. That was a playoff the Rams.
You bringing it back?
Yeah.
No. We're going to the Waffle House.
Waddle to the house. We got Waddle to the house. We got Koopas Troopas, and we got the LLTB. Have you guys seen the Terminal List?
No, I was wondering if I should know what that means.
Yeah, I was lost on it.
Long live the brotherhood. It's a,
what's that term you said?
This is your 25th. Oh, whoa. I pushed the wrong button here. Mike Staffel had some thoughts on that.
LLTV.
Terminal List. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a great show. You should watch it. It's about a Navy SEAL.
Sweet.
Long live the brotherhood.
Mm.